Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
You may be seated. When the 11 disciples left the site of Jesus' ascension, the Mount of Olives, that Thursday long ago, the evangelist Luke tells us that they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. We're filled with enthusiasm, having seen their Lord ascend in triumph. They were no doubt very eager, even zealous, to begin the work of carrying the gospel to all nations. But they did not begin to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified immediately. They waited 10 days patiently in prayer, just as Jesus commanded them to do, until they should be clothed with power from on high. Our Lord commanded them to wait for good reason. The task before them would be quite difficult. Remember that the man to whom they were to bear witness had been executed just over a month earlier for blasphemy and rebellion. And the disciples were not above their teacher and master. If they called the Lord Jesus Beelzebul, what would they do to his apostles? They too could expect to be met with violent resistance. They too would be persecuted, even to the point of death. And those who would persecute them, those who would martyr them, would do so thinking that they were pleasing God and offering service to Him. To carry out this task, to bear witness to a crucified God, demands more strength than a human being can supply of himself. But Jesus vowed that they would not be left alone. He would send them a helper, the Holy Spirit of truth, who would convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. He would guide the disciples into all truth, for He would take what is Christ's and declare it to them. For this reason, Christ called them to wait. Wait 10 days to begin their apostolic task, until they received power when the Holy Spirit came upon them. We too find ourselves in a position of waiting. Christ has died. Christ is risen. These two acts of salvation are indeed accomplished. But Christ has not yet come again. He will, without a doubt, yes, but He hasn't yet. And so we wait. Like the disciples, we wait, though our wait has far surpassed 10 days. And this lengthy wait is filled with many and various tribulations. We who bear the name of Christ are insulted as hateful for confessing the law of God, arrogant for confessing Jesus Christ is the only true God and the only way to heaven, and foolish for confessing the biblical truth of creation in 6 days, miracles, and the like. We are opposed, perhaps not yet to the point of death here, but maybe someday. Nevertheless, we are opposed by those who think they are offering service to their own God, a God far more tolerant and loving than the one true God found in Holy Scripture. In the face of so many fiery trials, how can we keep from falling away? We too have a helper, the same helper the apostles had, the Holy Spirit, whom the Lord Jesus poured out on His chosen disciples on Pentecost and now gives to us in the waters of holy baptism. He, the third person of the Holy Trinity, the eternal Spirit of God who proceeds from the Father and the Son, He, the Lord and giver of life, He has been given to you to be your comforter. But this morning, as we consider what it means for the Holy Spirit to be our helper and comforter, we must first recognize that there are two kinds of comfort. The first, which we naturally think of when we think about comfort, is worldly. Worldly comfort is based on things like having enough money, lots of material possessions, having bodily health and well-being, being entertained, enjoying hobbies and pastimes, indulging in pleasure, possessing honor and a good reputation, power in our society or community, and more. Now, in and of themselves, these worldly comforts are not bad. We pray for all of these things in the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And we believe that God, our Heavenly Father, graciously provides all these things to us because He is our Creator, the Maker of heaven and earth. But these worldly comforts are not promised to us. Christ has not vowed to give these worldly comforts to you or to His disciples. In this world, we often lack such comforts. What's more, there are occasions in which we must sacrifice these comforts altogether for the name of Jesus. Consider John the Baptist, for an example. He languished in prison, and he ultimately was beheaded in order or because he preached God's law faithfully to Herod. And all the while, Herod was feasting and having a good time. Or in the Old Testament, Joseph, son of Jacob, likewise was thrown into the king's prison in a foreign land for his fidelity, for his honor, shown to his master, and even more than that, shown to his God, while Potiphar's wife continued to live her life in leisure and luxury, if not debauchery. Many are the saints, both in Holy Scripture and afterward, who have suffered greatly while the world enjoyed joy and peace as it tortured them. It is not strange for us to be tested by the fiery trial when it comes upon us. The world hates Christians, even religiously, and so it continues to harass them in ways both small and large, from mockery and ridicule to lawsuits, vandalism, violence, perhaps even death. And meanwhile, it seems that those who reject Christ have nothing but good quiet days. They prosper greatly. And again, all the more, the world will use its comfort, its power, its honor, goods, wealth, prosperity to afflict the church. Again, this is the first kind of comfort, worldly comfort. But don't be troubled if you don't possess it. It is at best uncertain. The comfort it affords is temporary, and in this world, poverty, shame, illness, or weakness will inevitably come along, and as always, it's taken away at death. If you find your help in these worldly comforts, you will be sorely disappointed, for eventually you will find yourself with no comfort at all, and ultimately comfortless at death. But Christ has promised you a different type of comforter, a better comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will comfort you with heavenly, divine comfort, who brings this help to you when you are frightened and discouraged, forsaken by the world, its comforts, or even by your own heart. This is why Jesus calls him the Helper, because he is your true helper, whose comfort never fails. When the disciples of Christ, when his beloved flock, his church, suffer sorrow and affliction, that is when the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit to bestow his genuine, eternal comfort, which is never counterfeit or temporary. And this help of the Holy Spirit is real help, according to Christ's own promise. Again, think of the great saints of old. None of the world's comforts gave any help to John the Baptist. It wouldn't have helped him to have a comfortable pillow or soft blanket when he was laying in prison, and all the less when they cut off his head. Joseph didn't find any comfort from the world when he was confined in prison. When he helped, he was forgotten by Pharaoh's servant. But the Holy Spirit remembered them both, as he remembers all God's people, as he remembers you in your time of trial. The Helper, the Spirit of Truth, gave true comfort to John and to Joseph and to every Christian. Not necessarily by ending their suffering on earth, but by strengthening them to endure suffering every cross and sorrow. The Holy Spirit strengthens Christians by reminding them that though the world may harass and afflict them, they are nevertheless God's dear children. And so whatever sufferings you face as a Christian is only for a little while, and it will be followed by eternal joy in heaven, where even one moment is better than 1,000 years, filled with the finest earthly comforts. So the apostles rejoiced, knowing that they were worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. And Peter encourages us all to rejoice insofar as we share Christ's suffering. Nevertheless, in this world we face tribulation. So how can the Holy Spirit help us? How can he comfort us when we suffer so greatly? The Lord tells us how he does this, saying, "He will bear witness about me." Here's another key difference between the world's comfort and heaven's comfort. The world's comfort consists of experiences and material goods, things that are only here for a moment but then fade away or are lost. But God's comfort, however, consists of words. The word, the good news of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen again, now preached and taught to you, read and heard in Holy Scripture, an eternal word that stands forever. The Spirit won't give you riches, success, fame, or pleasure like the world desires, but he does bear witness about Jesus. And it's by this witness that you are enabled to say, "And take they our life, goods, fame, child, or wife, though these all be gone, our victory has been won, the kingdom ours remaineth." For Jesus Christ, who for our sake became man, died and rose again, has ascended into heaven, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, as we confess in the Creed. If this is true, and indeed it is, for it is testified by the Spirit of truth, then we can confidently say with the psalmist, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Or as the Apostle John writes, "Perfect love casts out fear." If God has loved you perfectly, even to the point of death on the cross, then you have no reason to fear any evil that may befall you here on earth. Christ says quite clearly, "The Spirit of truth will bear witness about me." He does not bear witness to anyone else. There is no sure and abiding comfort in anyone else. And so if you're to find the comfort that the world cannot give, comfort that transcends every earthly circumstance, sorrow, suffering, even death, it can only be found in Jesus Christ, in his death, in his resurrection. This alone is your help that abides eternally. Every other testimony, even of good things like pious works and holy living, is incapable of comforting sinners in the time of trial and in the hour of death. Apart from Jesus, there is only uncertainty, there's only despair, fear, and torment when the world's comforts disappear, as they always do. But the Holy Spirit bears witness to Christ, and to Christ alone in the Word of God, to bring true help, true comfort and joy to every heart, whether in good times or in bad. How does he do this? Jesus says again, "The Spirit of truth will bear witness to me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." He says this to his apostles. It is true that the work of the Holy Spirit is here within, in the heart. He bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and God has sent the Spirit into our hearts that we might cry out, "Abba, Father." However, this work, this sending, is carried out through the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, and the preaching of the same. As St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ." And that's why the Holy Spirit is called a witness by Jesus. Not because he witnesses secretly, privately in the heart, but because he witnesses outwardly and openly, publicly, through the mouth and the words of the apostles who were with Jesus from the very beginning, who saw his works, heard his teachings, who had been instructed personally by the Lord, and above all, had been witnesses of his resurrection. Now, these apostles have since died, of course. They are now at their heavenly rest. Nevertheless, their witness, and that is the witness of the Spirit of truth through their words, continues in what they have written. And through all preachers and teachers who proclaim the true, pure gospel of Jesus Christ. And so if you are suffering, if you are sorrowing, if you are lacking, if you are looking for God's help and comfort, don't wait for some direct revelation from God that the clouds might open and he might send you some personal message from heaven. Christ is ascended. He is not here in his bodily presence for us to see, touch, and feel. But he has sent you the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to speak to you in the Word, written, read, and preached, to tell you that Jesus Christ loves you, that he died for you, that he bore all your sins, that he has conquered sin, death, the devil, and the world for you. If you are suffering, sorrowing, lacking anything, seek and find your comfort and help in God's Word, for there you will find it without fail. Over and against those who would direct those who are suffering to earthly comforts, which cannot last, this truth remains sure. When the Holy Spirit brings help and comfort, he does so in no other way than to bear witness about Jesus. He speaks through the Word, and it's through hearing the Word that the Holy Spirit is at work in your heart. So turn your eyes and ears away from all the sorrows and sufferings of this present life. Find your help not in earthly comforts that do not last, but instead open your ears to hear of the man named Jesus, true God, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, descended into hell, and on the third day rose again and ascended into heaven, and did all of this for you. He did all of this so that you might have comfort here and now in the time of trial, that you might have salvation in the hour of death, that you might be kept steadfast and secure in the day of judgment. Do not be afraid. Do not despair. You have no reason. If Christ had not done any of these things for you, then yes, there would be good reason to be frightened. But Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ is ascended. And he is with you always, even to the very end of the age. He has promised to send you his very Spirit to be your helper and comforter. And therefore, in good times and in bad, whether you have the world's comforts or not, hold fast to this word of heavenly comfort. Believe in Jesus Christ, who died and rose again for you. For the Holy Spirit, who is your helper, bears witness about no one else. He brings Christ crucified to you through the Word in order to strengthen you and all Christians. Cling to this Word. For the comfort found therein will never fail as long as you cling to it in faith. May God bless us and keep us now and always with the comforting witness of his Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please stand.